Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna along with audio engineer Yatharta welcoming you to Thursday Live. You're tuned to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. I hope you enjoyed Sunrise with Sai earlier this morning, followed by the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kulwant Hall. All throughout the day today, you will be tuned to Radio Sai's live broadcast, popularly known as Thursday Live. Various members of the Radio Sai team host a segment each from the studio. And twice, we cut to the Sai Kulwant Hall to bring you the live Veda chanting and bhajans as they happen both in the morning and evening in real time. Right now, we are back at the Radio Sai studios and the time here right now is 9:41 a.m. Today is Thursday, March the 28th, 2013. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam call for clear sunny skies, excellent air quality with zero pollution. The current temperature is at 27 degrees Celsius. Mr. Golden Sun is making its presence felt in the afternoons and we are expecting a high of 38 degrees later in the day. Here's what's making news in Prashanthi Nilayam right now. Yesterday, the ashram celebrated the colorful festival of Holi. A special musical program was presented by Baba's devotees from the North Indian states of Bihar and Jharkhand. Puttaparthi's student population is in the grip of exam fever right now. Swami's students from grade 1 to university level are writing their final exams these days, working very hard to achieve their academic goals. Their teachers are working even harder to support their efforts. It's unbelievable what sacrifices Baba's teaching staff make to encourage their students in their pursuit of excellence. One day we hope to bring you a very special program on that incredible story. And even as we speak, the influx of parents into the Divine Valley is on the rise as the primary school breaks for holidays from Saturday, March 30th. That's just 2 days away. Nearly 3,000 students attend various Sai schools and colleges within the Vidyagiri complex in Prashanthi Nilayam. Many more attend the other three campuses of the Sai University at Anantapur, Brindavan and Mudanhalli. Except for the Srimati Ishwaramba school, all Sai schools and colleges here in Prashanthi Nilayam are strictly residential. The valley is home to thousands of children from all over the world and across India. And right now, their parents are descending from everywhere to collect their wards for the 2 months of summer vacation, April through May. Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Coming up on Morning Glory, what happens when their love for Bhagwan Baba brings together a pair of filmmakers, one from Hollywood and the other from Bollywood? Recently, I caught up with Jean Massey from Hollywood and Naresh Sharma from Yash Raj Films, Mumbai, when the two of them were here in Prashanthi Nilayam in connection with the project they are collaborating on. I'll bring you that conversation shortly and I promise you're going to enjoy it. At the bottom of the hour, we have our feature presentation, a fleeting moments interview. Today, I'll bring you the concluding part of the conversation with Sai University alumnus, Mr. Srimad Bhagwatam. His full name is Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagwatam. But before I air the interview with Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma, here's a special treat from our Nada Brahman series in the voice of Brother Ravi Kumar. I offer it as an appetizer before the main course.
Sai Ram, Sai Sham, Dher Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, Sai Sham,
Sai Shyam, Jere Sai Ram. Mere Sai, Mere Baba, Mere Pran Nath Ram. Mere Sai, Mere Baba, Mere Pran Nath Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Shyam, Mere Sai Ram. शांति दो भगवान, मुझे शांति दो भगवान, मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो Sai Nath He. Mere jeevan mein saath raho Sai Nath He. Sai Ram, Sai Shyam, Mere Sai Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Shyam, Mere Sai Ram. Mere Sai, Mere Baba, Mere Pran Nath Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Shyam, Mere Sai Ram. Sai Ram, Sai Shyam, Mere Sai Ram. Tere dwar pe main aao, mujhe shanti do Bhagwan. मुझे शांति दो भगवान, मेरे जीवन में साथ रहो साईनाथ हे. रहो साई नाथ हे। साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम।
साई राम। डियर लिसनर्स, जीन मैसी इज अ लॉस एंजलिस बेस्ड फिल्म डायरेक्टर and a Sai devotee who films around the world covering a wide range of Sai service activities including medical camps, hospitals, orphanages and Sai schools. Jean has been a devotee of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba since 1980. He is the current president of the Sri Satya Sai Baba Center of Hollywood, USA. His colleague, Naresh Sharma, is a professional film director who has been working with Yash Raj Films of Mumbai, among others. Naresh Sharma is also a Sevadal member since 1999 and he comes from a family of Bangalore-based Sai devotees. The year 2013 has seen Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma crisscrossing India to cover stories of the vastness, the depth, the diversity, enormity and the profundity of the Sai mission in India. During Mahashivratri 2013, I had an opportunity to catch up with Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma and find out what it is that is keeping them glued to their cameras these days. Sai Ram brothers, and welcome to Radio Sai. So, gentlemen, Naresh Sharma and Jean Massey, Sai Ram. Both men in white with the mission. What has kept you gentlemen busy of late?
We are India travelers, documenting the Sai mission all over the country. We've been to 6 states so far, and we've got a number of states to go. And we're probably the most fortunate people in the whole country, because we're getting to see an inside view of Swami's magnificent mission. And so many people probably don't know just how magnificent it really is, because we've seen some wonderful, wonderful things.
Who exactly are you filming, and what is the purpose of this documentary that you're making?
Well, we are filming mostly Sai schools, Sai service activities, medical camps, orphanages, vocational centers, out in the villages where the devotees are doing magnificent service. But mostly we're filming Sai service activities and Sai schools.
So are you planning to make one or more documentaries out of this material?
These are two, we hope, broadcast quality documentaries. One one-hour film on Swami's 99 Sai schools
in India.
In India, and his educational system of human values and educare and Vidyavahini. And then we are also doing a one-hour documentary on an overview of the entire All India Sai organization and all the wonderful things it's doing, that would include the educational system, mobile medical, hospitals, service work that's being done in the big cities and out in the villages. So it's documenting the whole mission that Swami has set forth in India and the world, for that matter.
Jean, you're a Hollywood producer. How are you managing your way around in India?
Well, when I was first contacted to do this marvelous endeavor, I first thought of Naresh Sharma, because he is very skilled in the film industry, having been Yash Chopra's assistant and having been a filmmaker in his own right and a director. And not only that, but a very dedicated devotee who's actually worked very closely with Swami. I thought, who better to go with us on this endeavor than Naresh, because he's immensely qualified to go along and help interpret some of the cultural things that I'm not aware of, although I've been a devotee for many years. He speaks the language that the people speak, and so he's an integral part of the entire endeavor.
Mm-hmm. So, Naresh, this experience of filming the Sai Mission across India is very different from what you do for a living, which is producing Bollywood masala movies. How has the experience been?
Since I joined this work and Swami had blessed me on my career in the very beginning, I'd always been praying to Swami that whatever I do in the field, I hope He gives me some chance where I can serve His mission. And what's beautiful about this film is that we have numerous movies where Swami in His discourses is talking about service.
Uh-huh.
We hope this film is capturing that message in real life, you know, as against Swami's words on one end, and we see how it's being shown in action by His army in white. So I found this was a fabulous opportunity to be a part of His mission, and its first opportunity in this field, so I was very excited about it.
And I hope you will produce more films related to Bhagwan's mission. Who started this whole idea? Where did it come from?
It came from Nimish Pandya, who is very active in the education, in Sai schools and Sai education. And he works very closely with Dr. Petrie in Mumbai. And he called me up one day and said, we're thinking about doing a film about Sai schools. There are 99 of them. And so that's how it began, with his idea. And then we got an approval from Sri Srinivasan to go forward. And I came in November and met with them. And we worked out all the details and brought Naresh into the project. And that's how it all began.
Mm-hmm. So who is your likely target audience? Who is it aimed at?
We would believe everyone. The Sai devotees already are aware of what His mission is, what His message is. We are hoping to bring this to the awareness of everyone. To be honest, not so much Swami. It's His message, which is very practical, the right medicine for today's ailments around the society. And we have a feeling that what He said was so practical, so usable by everyone of people of all race and ages, that if we show people that how His message is being implemented by everyone without any publicity, without anything, it will inspire more people to take up this work in their own ways and help society at large.
Very noble intention.
Not only that, most of the films on Swami that are out there now are centered around darshan and spiritual activities around the ashram and around Swami's walking around and some of the Sai schools and things like that. But really, I don't think we've really seen the wonderful, magnificent work that's going on in the villages, in the hospitals, mobile medical, vocational training. The public, the general public, does not know about these things. And you know, I've told several people already. I've actually been crying as I'm filming in some of these activities. They're so touching and so much love, and the general public has not seen this. They have no idea, you know, and especially in people in other faiths and other cultures, they see a picture of Swami and they say, oh, an Indian guru or something. They don't really know what Swami's mission really was. And so by seeing this, we can really color and show what Swami's mission is all about and what He came here to do.
So where all have you both been so far in your mission to shoot across India?
We've covered the southern states. We've been to Tamil Nadu, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, mid-India being Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, and Karnataka was our last schedule. We hope to cover a few things here in Puttaparthi, following which we'll be leaving for Orissa.
I see. And then are you traveling north as well?
Yes, we hope to cover every state. We'll be going to Manipur, far east, and northern states would be Jammu. We were hoping to capture something in Kashmir, but we've heard that there recently things have changed over there since a few political events, and we'll be covering Jammu for sure. A lot of good work going there. And yes.
Gujarat, Maharashtra.
Maharashtra, UP, Bihar.
How long will each of these documentaries be?
1 hour documentary on Sai education and Sai schools, and then a 1 hour documentary on an overview of all of Swami's mission, not just education, but also medical, his hospitals, also the service work that's going on, an overview on the All India Sai organization.
I see a huge challenge before both of you in terms of editing, considering the amount of filming you're doing and how vast the mission is. To capture each of these topics within an hour is going to be very hard.
I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that.
I believe you.
We've only been to six states, so we've got 53 hours of film so far. And we'll probably have another 100 hours before we're done. But not just for these films, but this is also a wonderful documenting of the activities for the archives. I often tell people 100 years from now, this footage, people will be going through it and amazed at how the Golden Age started.
That's a very nice way of looking at it. Now, how will people have access to it once it's done and ready?
As of today, we don't have a firm commitment on a distribution deal, but we're hoping this goes on Indian television, on national television. We also have interest from several international cable channels that have a large Indian audience. But I think we can make something that crosses all borders, that anyone would find interesting. You know, there are a lot of NGOs in the world and a lot of charities, and a lot of people are doing wonderful work, but really no one has seen what the Sai organization...
Mm. We've always been very publicity shy and very quiet in what we do. Just work, no talk.
That's true. And then when Swami was here, he really didn't want publicity because he didn't want to attract the people that were looky-loos. Most of the people that came here were genuine spiritual seekers. And now that he's passed, is no longer with us in physical form, it's open to, I think, more open to being able to publicize what his mission is.
Mm-hmm. Based on what you've seen so far and filmed till now, what was it that inspired you the most?
We were in Visakhapatnam.
Andhra Pradesh.
Vizag, I think they call
it. Yes, Vizag.
In Andhra Pradesh. You know, Swami made many visits to Visakhapatnam, and the people there are so inspired. It's like they're on fire to do service. We went to one area that where I was actually crying when I was filming, where it was the young adults... Outside the railway station in Visakhapatnam, there is an area behind the railway station where the people are destitute, dressed in rags, starving, matted hair, just pitiful, lying in the streets. And the young adults go and pick them up and take them to an area that they've roped off. They've made tents and things, and they wash these people, cut their hair, cut their fingernails, trim their beards. They even have a tub that they've heated the water that they use to wash the people with. They have a propane thing there or a gas thing that heats the water so they don't have to wash them in cold water. This is the kind of care they do. And then they wash the people. They put medicine on their sores. They have a whole collection of clothes. They're used clothes, but they're clean and washed, and so they have like a wardrobe selection. These people can pick the clothes that they would like to wear. They put fresh clothes on them, they feed them, they pray with them, and they send them on their way. And it's one of the most moving service activities I've ever seen. It's just magnificent.
Just so loving.
So loving. And that's the issue here. Is, you know, there's a way you can do service where you say, here's some food for you. And the way the devotees do it, they give them the food along with a smile and along with love and care, and make the people generally so happy, not just from the food, but the fact that somebody cares about them. That's the key. You know, I was in Los Angeles once, and a man was begging. And he said, I just got out of prison and I can't get work. Can you give me some money for some food? I said, not only that, but I'll go with you to the place and we'll buy you any food that you want. So I went with him to the restaurant and bought him the food. It was a takeout place. Got him the food. And I came out and I sat down on the curb with him. And he started crying. And he said, nobody ever did this. Nobody ever sat down with me, bought me the food. They would give me some money, but they never bought me the food, and then sat down with me.
That extra mile, that just
And you see, that's what the devotees do here. They go out and not just say, hey, here's some food for you. They go out and they deliver this with love. Everything the devotees do is filled with love, coated with love. As we say in Hollywood, it's all sugar-coated, you know. This is what the magnificence of the mission is. They're not just doing service. And this is actually the fuel that transforms the people in the villages, is the love that they bring. You know, we were talking earlier about the man that was totally transformed by the love of the devotees doing this kind of service.
Of the young adults, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And did you have an opportunity to film any of the projects under the Sri Sathya Sai Village Integrated Program, the SSVIP?
Yes, but if I could answer previous question.
Go ahead.
I've been a Sevadal for 10 years, and I honestly thought I knew what service is. This trip has been an eye-opener, to say the least, when in 2000, I think, we were in the youth conference, and Swami kept telling us, you know, go out, serve, and he finally ended up saying, your lives will be my message. I thought Swami was expecting too much out of us. Our lives will be his message. I mean, it was quite a tall task, you know, and I've seen that happening. I've seen our boys over there quietly in white, living his message. And I was blown away by it. And the question you asked was, what have you seen? Honestly, if we started speaking, this interview would go 52 hours long, because that's how much we've covered. But I would like to mention two incidents that stand out. We went to this mentally challenged institute in Tamil Nadu. It was in the afternoon, and I actually was thinking in my mind, Swami, I'll feel sorry for those kids, you know, we'll get emotional, so just help me out there, let me just do my work properly. And I went there, and I was surprised by the energy of joy that was there amongst those kids. They were full of life, and guiding those kids were a few college students. They were not part of our mission, they were just from a nearby college. Now, how we normally do things is, when we come out of the car, he carries his equipment, a camera or something, I carry one of my equipments, and it's normally a Sevadal who will carry our bag, the main bag behind, and take it along. So after we interviewed everything, I just happened to be chatting with those boys. Where do you come from? How do you do this? What inspires you? And they were narrating this thing to me, and it said, well, we were inspired by the professor of our college. You know, he's a Sai devotee, and he asked us to, you know, come with these boys. We'll train you. But spend your Sundays, spend it with these boys, and, you know, make their lives worthwhile as well as yours. So I said, wow, I mean, that the professor must be somebody great. He said, yes, he's standing right behind you. I looked behind, there was nobody there. I said, who? He said, that's Sevadal. He's the professor.
What humility.
I wanted to fall down on my knees and, you know, bow before him, because... And I said, Swami, thank you for this. I thought I was doing your work, but it's you working on us. How can I ever be the same person seeing this? I thought I was a Sevadal. I thought I was so-and-so, but look at this. It was marvelous. And it takes me to another incident that happened in Rajasthan. We went to a village near Kota. It was not fully an SSS VIP village, because the conditions over there were so poor. Those villagers did not have a land of their own. So our people could not build toilets for them and everything, because you need their own land. That's one of the things, you know. They were just trespassing on a territory, and our people were giving them any help they could. Very poor place, very poor place. And the government could remove them anytime, you know. And we had gone to the school. There was a makeshift school where... and after that, there was the process of the Amrit Kalasham.
Yes.
You would know about that.
It's the program where they provide the basic groceries and necessities to selected families.
To selected families,
yeah.
Yes. That's
very
key.
Needy families.
So we had those selected families sitting down over there. Amongst that was one little kid who was 9 or 10 years of age. When her turn came, she came up to take the... groceries, and I think it was weighing some a good 20-25 kgs, and she sat down, and when the thing got over, she got up to leave, and I realized she was doing it all alone. So I said, hey, where's your mom? Call her. So the girl was obviously shy, so the women nearby said, ke beta, she doesn't have a mom or a dad. She had a grandmother, but she's passed away. So I said, you mean she's all alone, this 9-year-old kid? She said, no, she's got two younger brother and sister, and she's all by herself. I didn't know what to do, but I saw this girl putting that thing on her head, and carrying the rest of it. You know, these guys are very strong mentally. They don't feel pity. They don't look. But she was carrying that 20, 25 kid, this 9-year-old girl.
Mm. And fending for herself and her two little brothers.
Oh, yes.
She was the mom of the family
at 9. She was the mom of the family, yes. I couldn't help it. There was a break. I just left my stuff over there. I ran up to her and I just pulled it out of her hand because I knew she wouldn't give it to me because we were honored guests or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just took it from her hand and just quietly walked behind her so that we are not, nobody's around. So I could speak openly with her. And when I was walking and when I left, very humble place, her dwelling was very humble. I said, look, there's nobody here. There's no elder. So you can speak openly to me. Can I help you in any ways? Mm. Do you need anything? Money? Or anything you need, tell me, I will ensure you get it. Don't feel shy, don't feel scared of anything. She says, Nahi bhaiya, I have everything. So I said, no, think about it. You need clothes, you need shoes, you need anything, I'll ensure. Nobody will know, I'll ensure you get it. She says, very come no, madam ne clothes diya humko. The principal of the school has given me everything. I said, what about, it's very cold here. Do you have blankets for yourself and your sister? He says, yes, the Sairam people have given it to us. And she was so relaxed about saying it. She didn't even, you know, I said, oh my God, Swami, I've heard you say that where his army invite cannot go. He is taking care of those people unseen. And I'm seeing that, you know. And I was blown away by this. I said, what contentment this little girl has. And she wanted to go play. I said, okay, you go. And must mention this madam of the school. This village is some 50 kilometers away from Kota. That lady is not a Sai devotee. And she just comes here all through the week. And she need not come on a Sunday. But she knows on Sundays, the Sai Ram people come. That's how they call them. The Sai Ram people come. She makes it a point to come back and serve these people. So that's the kind of work that has been going on incognito. And if he says the golden age is at hand, yes, when you look at it, you're not surprised. You know it's going to come about.
If only you tune in and hear these stories. Imagine the penetration of the Sai movement, the NGO that runs so quietly. It has gone so deep. It has very deep roots. I can't think of any other NGO that is so well organized and so well penetrated into the heartland of India's villages, really deep inside.
I dare say that why us? If 10 teams were to go together, we could still not know what all is going on.
Very hard to capture. It's a very big canvas.
You know, I often talk about how in a nuclear reaction, there's something called critical mass. When the critical mass takes place, you have a nuclear explosion. I've been in 26 countries filming Sai service, Sai schools. There, we have reached the critical mass. There is nothing you could do to stop the golden age now if you tried. Because there is so much of this type of work going on beneath the surface that you don't know about. We have not sought publicity. We have not sought donations. We have not sought members. They've come from the goodness of their hearts. And that's what this is. This is a heartfelt movement beneath the surface, incognito, that is going to change the world, and there's nothing you can do to stop it.
I can sense the conviction in your voice, Gene, seeing that you both have been there and seen it yourself.
We've seen things that I don't think many people have seen what we've seen. And when you see this, as Naresh says, it has changed us. It's changed our hearts, and I suppose that, you know, Swami's job is to change your heart, and so he picks a job for you that changes your heart. If you could imagine a guy from Hollywood, materialistic Hollywood, well, what would he do to
and
change
your
me?
And films, Bollywood.
Well, he was already on the right path, you know, but you take a guy like me that was stuck in the world of Hollywood and all the things that go on there, what on earth could he do to change me? Well, let's send him and show him my mission, and let's take him into the deepest part of India where the real work is going on, and let him see what real love is. And that's what he's given me. It's his gift to us to be able to go around and see these things. And hopefully we will live up to the mission and be worthy of the gift by making truly great work of showing this work. We feel as if we're the chosen ones, almost, you know, to be so lucky to be seeing these magnificent things, and we're not even done yet. We're one third finished. So if you can imagine how we feel like we're blessed and been given the sacred mission, you know, to so to speak. And so we're having a wonderful time.
I can imagine, very inspiring. What makes us very different from other NGOs is what Swami laid out, that service is the path to salvation. So you're doing it for yourself, and service benefits the provider even more than the receiver of the benefit. So in your case, you're serving as instruments to capture this, and it's affecting you so beautifully. But you both keep referring to the golden age. What exactly do you mean?
In his last discourse in Vrindavan, it was in 2008, where he briefly mentioned it quite openly that the golden age will come around in the next 27 years. This was 6 years ago, so my monkey mind calculated it to come about right 2034. He said that would be an age where human consciousness will shift from the I and me state to the us and we state. It's the Ram Raja come again, very simply put.
And you both are hopeful that is happening already.
It's not hopeful, it's happening.
Convinced.
We're convinced.
You're talking to two fellows that are convinced that we're seeing it in blossom. You know, I often joke when a child is born, you look at this little infant that's just born, you say, how is that thing ever going to graduate from college? You know, that's a mess, you know. But, and so right now, you know, you're seeing the birth of the golden age. It needs time to mature, but it's been born. Swami came to light the lamp of love in our hearts, and he's done that, and his mission is a great success from what we've seen. It just needs to be told to the rest of the world so they can join in.
Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma, it's been so inspiring listening to your stories and your experiences. Wish you the very best of luck with the venture. May everything go on smoothly and finish on time. When are we likely to have a peek at it?
Well, I guess if we commit to a date, we'll have to stick to it, but we're hoping to have something to show by birthday.
Okay, wonderful. Look forward to it. The very best of luck to both of you.
Sai Ram. Loving Sai Ram to all the listeners. Thank you so much.
Sai Ram.
Thank you.
Sai Ram and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that special conversation with Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma from Hollywood and Bollywood respectively, and how their common love for Bhagwan Baba has set them off on this mission to capture glimpses of the Sai movement across India. What they have seen has convinced them that the golden age is at hand, and at Radio Sai, we are convinced as well because of the panorama that we get to see from where we are sitting. Now, dear listeners, it would be very nice to hear what you think of this interview as well as of the bhajan in Brother Ravi Kumar's voice that I played for you earlier from our Nada Brahman series. We'd love to hear from you. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosai.org. It's now time for today's feature presentation, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. Over now to Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishop Rushdie. This is the concluding part of this two-part interview. In case you have missed the earlier part of this conversation, you can catch it on our website, radiosai.org/Sai Students. At radiosai.org/Sai Students, you will find over 140 conversations with Bhagwan students. All downloads are free, and you can enjoy listening to them at your leisure. But before playing this interview, here's another sweet treat from our Nada Brahman series, this time in the voice of Brother Tara Shankar.
हम सब मिलकर मंगल गाए हम सब मिलकर मंगल गाए साईं भगवान सत्य साई भगवान साई भगवान सत्य साई
Did this art continue once you joined the hostel?
Absolutely. Actually, I'd like to say that every one of us as students here have a channel we develop with Bhagwan. And with Swami, my approach to him was through art and sports.
Sports too.
Yeah. Okay. And I'd like to share a couple of things around that, which one of them is art. I used to draw. There was something called Nachiketa board in the school then. And Ram Mohan Rao sir was in charge of it, and B.K. Mishra sir was in charge of it for a while. And I used to draw a lot of things and put it up on the board. And mostly Swami's pictures I used to draw. And at one point in 10th class, I think, I had actually drawn several of Swami's pictures, pencil sketches. So I collected all of them, and I said, this time if I get opportunity to be with Swami in the interview room or something, when my parents came, I'll try to show off. my talents. I want to show Swami what I am all about as an artist. You know, I'm great. Still, I was still, I should say, not necessarily able to understand many things. I was still immature. And so I thought I was a great artist and I wanted to show my art to Swami and get some kudos. So it happened that we were in the interview room and Swami had called us into the personal interview room. Then I opened the folder and I put it on Swami's laps. And Swami, I said, Swami, I draw. And I draw a lot of pictures and I would like you to bless. And I took a pen for him to sign and all that. Then he quickly looked through and he said, art to heart to ninchi ravalra. He said, art to heart to ninchi ravalra, which means art must come from the heart.
Otherwise it is artificial.
It's artificial. Otherwise it's artificial. That really stuck with me. I was expecting that he would say a lot of good things and praise me for all the great artwork I did, but he taught me the real art. And
meaning of
me,
art. Yes.
So in a way, I would consider Swami to be my teacher in my art. And since then on, when I draw, I always think about how to bring my perspective to art. It's a beautiful experience for me. And many people, business gurus, have taken classes at Harvard Business School. I went to MIT and did management and all. But everywhere I hear people talk about passion and you have to build with passion and this and that. But when I was a 10-year-old kid, Swami taught me that in some very simple way, yes, art should come from the heart.
I think before passion, devotion should come.
Devotion is most important.
Yes.
Since you have that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I continued the art and I used to do, for school magazine, I had done an art once and fortunate to have Swami actually. It was something called Sai Ganesha. Mm-hmm. I think for Ganesh Chaturthi, they published a magazine and Ram Mohan Rao sir asked a few students to do drawings and asked me to draw the cover page for it. I drew Sai Ganesha where Swami was doing the palm like this, mm-hmm, and Ganesha was dancing on his palm. That was my creation.
Wonderful.
I'm proud of that because Swami signed it. Not because
he
of the art, but Swami was very happy and Swami approved it. So beautiful. I thought I kind of graduated a little bit from the artificial art to something a little bit more of a consequence. And it went on. I mean, I did, but one thing I want to say, in art also, in one of the years, Swami had blessed us, so I prepared a big greeting card for him and sat through late night, did all kinds of bells and whistles and made a beautiful greeting card, and on top I wrote this big letters THA and KS thanks and made it look really flashy and all that. And for some reason at the last minute I thought I should make it even more flashy, and for what reason I don't know, I made a streaking sign going through this thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through the letters like a thunderbolt.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were sitting in the mandir and I was holding the card and Swami came out, and as he came out, birthday boys and this, and then I showed the card and Swami took it and Swami went through very happy, and he closed the cover again and he saw and said, "Entra, thanks koti rasi malli cherpesavu." He said, "You wrote thanks and you cut it out. What is that?"
He stuck it out again.
But something that I've learned from that, because I was going through that myself, is that there is this small alap that Brother Sanjeev Barbara sings in his bhajan, "Ik pag aage do pag piche." That's something that I felt, you know, I was going dabbling. Okay, Swami,
you take
is God.
One step and then again you go back two steps.
Yeah, Swami, you're God, you're almighty. And 3 days later, Swami didn't talk to me. And Swami, what is this? And I start blaming him or something. All those back and forth, Swami didn't encourage. You have to have steady and constant faith.
Yes.
And you have to develop that. So that's something I felt from that comment of his. Because everything Swami says has significance. We have to only understand and try to get as much value out of it.
And now when we think of it, actually more meanings come out.
Yeah. Eventually, even as you keep pondering on it,
you're
like, wow, so profound, yet, you know. In life, so many situations occur in our own lives personally. We have troubles like everyone else. And we have joyous moments and everything. But like Swami is constantly there. It's just us going away and coming back and going away and coming back.
Yes, absolutely. That's what he said. God is the only friend, only permanent friend. And I think every student gets that experience and lives on that experience. That the only connection which is steady
permanent
in your life and permanent, you can always bank upon is Swami. Yes. So what about sports?
like many students, I was looking for opportunities to sort of see where I can get closer for me and how I can interact with him if there is any possibility, that kind of thing. So in sports, I was in 100 and 200 meter sprints. I used to run and I used to do other athletic events like track and field. But what I've learned from those also, even today I practice. That's something I want to share, which is that even though I was running and I got prizes from Swami directly, was the ultimate goal then, eventually I learned that even in life I could continue to practice some of those things, positive competitive spirit. And me and my next guy in the sprint competitions, usually it used to be my friend Harita Buri, and both of us were pretty much neck to neck a lot of the times in 100 meters and 200 meters. It was very competitive but very positive competitive spirit. And that I always carried through even in at work. I feel I am very competitive but not at the expense of compromising values or anything like that.
It's a healthy,
very healthy
and positive competition.
And a couple of other inspirations I used to have when I was here, there were a couple of boys in the institute who used to run long distance, like 5K, 10K. One was Praveena, actually. I think he's part of faculty now. But he and his brother, I'm blanking on the name, but they both used to run 5K and 10K runs.
Yeah, 10 kilometers. Yes.
Breeze for them. And it was always inspiring to see that kind of ethic in running and dedication from the senior. So eventually I started running long distances in the US, in the United States. I learned to run marathons.
In the US?
Yes, and I've run the most prestigious Boston Marathon, the first and the most prestigious marathon in the US. I'm very proud to say that only because of the encouragement I got from Swami and his school.
That's great. So when you were in the school, did you have chance of class interviews with Bhagwan?
The year before us was the first time in 1988, Swami had started asking the 10th class and 12th class students to come for darshan before the exams, 2-3 weeks before the exams, in the mornings as well in the evenings.
Because you had the study holidays.
Holiday, preparation holidays. They used to go. And then ours was the next batch. In 1989, we were graduating from 12th standard. We prayed Swami to bless us also in a similar way so we can have his darshans before the exams and mornings and evenings. So we used to go every morning, evening. Swami used to talk, spend a lot of time with us and talk to us about our preparations, make us feel, you know, secure about exams and results and all this. And one thing that we saw that happened to our previous year batch was that Swami blessed them all with an interview and talked to a lot of them about their further careers and growth, whatever they're planning to do. So we thought maybe we can have the same opportunity. So we kept praying to Swami about it. For several days, I think at least a week, 10 days, we kept asking Swami every day. And Swami used to give some excuse, quote-unquote, every day. Today it's hard, this, and one day it's the room is too small, and so on and so forth. Eventually, we all decided as the whole class that we're getting close to the exams and we have to do something about this. So one day we all spent a lot of time in the nights making all kinds of cards and writing letters. Everybody wrote letters to Swami asking him, praying for his blessings. And we all said, let's not eat breakfast, let's do fasting, let's get in the first in the row, let's go fast, because I think there were other classes also, 10th class and others, so we wanted to be in the front and we wanted to sit in the front in the veranda. So Swami, when he comes out, we can ask him. That day, Swami went for darshan and came, and then he stopped and started talking to us. He stopped at in the first row, and then we asked Swami, please give us interview and blessings. Then Swami said, the interview room is small, you know that, it won't fit. How many of you, he said? 84 people, Swami, 84 students. 84? No, it's too many people. And Swami, no, we know the previous batches have gone in and come out without any problems. So Swami said, go in. He took us inside and he closed the door, switched on the light and fan and sat and, like Swami says, I am a child among children.
Yes.
So it's something I could see in action. that only God and only Swami can do. Many people can talk, but in practice it won't happen. But here Swami didn't start talking to about exams or how we should behave when we go out, nothing. He said, did you have breakfast? So that kind of diffused a lot of tension, first of all. Being with Swami in so close proximity is something very rare for a lot of us. And then Swami immediately looked at the kitchen in charge, Venkatachalam sir, and then he made a joke saying, I'll make a special breakfast for you, not the same idli dosa that Venkatachalam makes. He asked the boy who was sitting at his feet to put his palms,
cup his palms,
and he started from his tip of his fingers, he created sweet laddu, bundi. I mean, just flowed from his fingertips for 84 of us.
84 of you?
84
so
of us.
So bundi was just flowing from his
fingers? Just flowing as the Akshaya Patra.
Oh my God.
I only read of Chandamama stories in Akshaya Patra, but I'm actually literally seeing this.
Out of the world, right?
Beautiful fragrance, and it was warm. It was not like, you know, it was prepared sometime back. And Swami, it's like everything is got to be perfect.
So 84 laddus came out of his hand.
No, it was a sweet bundi.
Bundi. Bundi.
For, I mean, yeah, bundi for 84 of us,
yes.
He took it out of the palms from this boy, and he himself went around the room, distributed it to all the 84 of us.
Amazing.
Can there be a better example of love in action than that, is what I think about. Then one funny thing happened was that one of the boys actually had just gone out to the restroom, to the bathroom, when Swami called for the interview.
Okay.
What I want to say there is that the boys, as much as we know and we experience God in Swami, the direct interaction and no fear, God and fear cannot coexist in some way. That's my perspective. Love and God should coexist, but not God and fear. This boy just walks into the interview room. I just was shocked. He opened the door and he walked inside. And Swami was so loving. He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything.
That's
yeah,
so beautiful.
You would have so many doubts whether I can do it or not.
Yes.
But I think all this depends on your relationship with
Swami. With Swami,
that's
yes.
If that channel is very clear in you,
yes.
Then Swami also responds like that. And that's why I think we have seen that any number of occasions, one person would do a particular thing,
and Swami
and
react differently.
Swami would perhaps be very angry,
yes, yes.
At his show anger,
yes.
And the same thing another person does, and he's perfectly okay. He's very loving. So I think it's always boils down to what you have relationship with Bhagwan.
That's,
I think he's just a reflection.
Excellent,
just a reflection.
Yes, excellent way to put it. Actually, I didn't think about it that way. It's an excellent way to put it, because people say, "Oh, but how come Swami said this?" But Swami also said that. But you're right. It is the individual connection with Bhagavan.
Yeah, it's always one-to-one. Wonderful.
That's nice.
So, any more memories from your school days before we move on?
One other thing that happened just after I graduated, actually. In 1989, I graduated from high school, and Swami had already decided what I should be doing, and
so media counseling was already
all done. In hindsight, I see so many children now finishing their intermediate or 11th and 12th, and dabbling with questions and as to where to go, because it's a fork in life kind of thing. I cannot recall even a moment of thinking in that line, because Swami pretty much made my career path decisions for me. Swami said, you're going to be a computer scientist and you'll be doing computer science engineering.
So he made it very clear.
He made it very clear.
Computer engineering, yeah. Computer science.
Yes. So there was not even a question of which engineering, which branch also. He knows, I guess, that I needed that help. So, and he knows everything that we need. We don't have to ask him. So he made the decision for me, and it made it very easy for me to go that path. But just after the graduation, I had to come back to the school to gather some documents. A small experience I want to share is how Swami, again on the discipline aspects, couple of things actually I want to share on discipline. One was when I was in school, we used to sit on the side veranda so that Swami would come and close to us and we could give a letter or see if maybe there's an opportunity to talk. And Swami had promised my parents when I joined that I will take care of your son, and he said something in Sanskrit, you can come back in 6 months and check, I'll make him a diamond. Putra Kanthirav, you can come and check your son. He'll become a shining diamond. And I'll take care of him. So he stuck with his word as always. So he used to talk to me pretty much every day while going back. Mundane things. You know, that's the beauty of the avatar. I mean, if he had talked to me about anything more than that, I was not in a position to grasp it.
Probably you wouldn't have related to him.
Right. I would not have related to him. I would probably have shut off from him, actually, in contrast. Because that's how he relates to us, right? So he used to talk to me about very mundane things, like, did your parents write you a letter? Did you call them? Did you eat? What did you eat?
So you always felt that here is someone, if I need anything in life...
I can go to him.
Yes.
It's not like I can only go to him for some complex situations. Everything and anything. God, if you cannot go to
you
God for everything...
You just start relating to him as a friend.
Yeah. That's how I felt. And he used to talk very simple things. But once he disciplined me... Actually, two times I want to share him, several times, but these two things I have to share. Why Swami emphasizes so much on discipline and how much he is watching us for that. So I was sitting on the side and I didn't comb properly, and I also like to have long hair a little bit. I wanted to comb like some one of the film stars, something was going on. Swami came and stopped near me in Dunnapotu, Buffalo. No discipline, no discipline. Why didn't you put oil and comb properly and come? That was pretty harsh for me, but I also didn't take it too seriously. I still continue to do a few mischievous things. But that is my relationship with Bhagwan, Swami. And I think it's okay to have whichever relationship you have to make sure that it is your relationship and you understand it very well. My relationship with Swami was always... little bit of a rebelling, little bit of asking question, little bit of, no, I won't do that. And then learning why I should do it from him. That was always the case with me. And I learned the best that way. One experience I have to share on that note is, I used to question him in my mind. Oh, when the interview happens with my parents, he used to be so close to all of us. And he used to talk to me so much. And I used to hold his hands and he used to put his arms around my shoulder, and it's a beautiful experience. But once I was out of the interview, several times I've seen, he never even recognized me physically.
He felt like that.
Yeah, I felt that way. I'm sure he did, but that my impression was that, which is wrong. So I want to share this example of where I had this mind conversation with Swami. I was totally on the thought level, I should say. I actually don't buy into all this because I guess maybe I'm on a different plane, whatever that is, but... with God, you can actually communicate at the thought level very vividly. This experience taught me. So I was sitting in the front row in the veranda and Swami came, stopped, talked to boys, and then I had this thought going in my mind. I said, Swami probably doesn't really know me that I'm so-and-so. I am from Tirupati and I'm so-and-so's son. Nothing. In the interview room, he makes all this. Then immediately he looked at me and said, Tirupati, Tirupati.
Oh, immediate.
Immediate answer within seconds, moments, that nothing. Then I smiled and said, just nodded my head, saying, yes, Swami is recognized that I am from Tirupati. Fine. And then another thought happened that, okay, maybe he just remembers that Tirupati, but he doesn't really remember who I am or I'm so-and-so's son or anything like that. Then he told me, so-and-so's Professor Raghunath Acharya's son. Raghunath Acharya Abbai. I know Ra. Sugriva, monkey leader in the hostel.
Oh, yeah. He said, you're the monkey leader in the hostel.
You're the monkey leader in the hostel. I said, no, Swami. Then he had called Habu sir also, and he was
the principal
then. And he started telling these boys, yeah, this monkey, right? And so, and I was trying to explain to Swami in my naivety that, no, Swami, I'm not. But he is all-knowing and he is the one. I should have just accepted.
Given your monkey nature of the mind.
Yes, I'm very appropriately said.
Your mind is all the time jumping from one thing to the other, whether Swami knows me or not.
Yes,
because
yes.
Whether Swami knows that I'm this person's son, though you know that he's blessed you so much in the interview
yes,
room.
Yes.
And he's looking after you, he's asking about you. But then other days we just have these doubts.
And that's how he cleared those doubts for me. Sugriva, like laughing out loud in the hostels, making a lot of noise. I said, Swami, no, you can ask. I don't have to ask anybody.
Swami said,
Swami said, I know, I don't have to ask anybody. I just kept quiet, Swami. The monkeys, I think, started calming down then. And the other experience, last one in this discipline thing is, after graduating from school, one day I'd come to Patti for collecting some documents, and I actually didn't think that I should cut my hair short and all that. I said, I'm just going there for one morning and I'll return. So I came in the mandir, I started walking in, and I sat in the alumni section. And then Swami came for darshan, and Swami didn't come near the alumni section, nothing like that. He cut across the circle and he even short circuit and went. And then next darshan in the evening, I came, and right in the entrance, Sri Kailas came running to me as I was coming in, and he said, stop, stop, stop. Swami asked you to go get a haircut and come.
Very clear.
There's very no confusion. Yeah, Swami asked you to go get a haircut and come. That's very simple, one statement and done. So immediately I ran out of Prashanthi gate and nearest barber I could find. My thing was, I want to make Swami happy before I go.
You don't want your silly hair to come in between.
To come in between God and you. So that was another small lesson in discipline for me, that Swami is, even though you have graduated and you have gone out physically, you have not gone anywhere.
Yes.
As far as Swami is concerned, you are right there. And Swami is
And
right
everything
there.
Applies to you.
Yes.
Those discipline yes. that you learnt here, they continue to be there, and they have to be there.
They have to.
So how was it after you joined your engineering college in Tirupati?
Actually, Swami was so specific as to, you should study computer science engineering in Tirupati in Sri Venkateshwara University.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, my monkey mind was getting better, but still was monkey mind. So when I wrote the entrance exam, I got a very good rank and I was able to get admission into a lot of national institutes of technology. Then they were called RECs. REC, Kurukshetra, Varangal, Trichy, and those colleges. And I was tempted to perhaps take up engineering in one of those other colleges. But according to Swami's guidance and command, it was very easy, at least for my parents, to make the decision for me. Swami said it, and so you're going to study in Tirupati. It's not it's an option to discuss.
Yes.
For them. And for me, it was slightly maybe an option, but it was not entertained that much. In hindsight, I am so thankful profusely to Swami and parents for making that happen and making me study at home, being at home and studying in the college as a day scholar. Because those were the precious 4 years I spent with my parents. And I'd like to come back to this at a later point in the session on how and why that is. But coming to the engineering, when I was in final year of engineering, several of my classmates had expressed interest. Hey, you go to this Sai Baba thing every now and then, and what is this? Who is this? What is that? So they were, as any, say an engineer would be, they were curious to see. And some of them asked me, see if maybe we can come with you next time. So, and I didn't say anything to them. On another trip, I had asked Swami's permission. In the interview room, Swami, several of my friends in your engineering college have asked me to take them to Parthi, wanted your blessings for that. And Swami said, Chala Santosham Manchi, please bring, I'll bless you all. So after almost a year actually, I was able to have some of the students join me, and we all came, six of us came to Puttaparthi. And 2 days, morning for the first day we were here, in the darshan line Swami came near us, and I got up and asked Swami's permission and blessings, because we came as his command. And so Swami said, Telsu, telsu, chala santosham, I know, and I will see. Swami's code word, and he says, I will see, is that very likely that he will bless you with prasadam or interview, whichever. But there's hope,
yes.
So, sort of, he creates that. But again, typical of him, he would immediately put you in dark and he'll make you deserve it. He's the one who gives, he's also the one who teaches us how we can deserve it. Something very unique about Swami.
He prepares us for that.
Yes, he prepares us so much for that. The whole darshan, next darshan, he didn't come near us, he didn't talk to us. And next morning also, he just ignored us, and we were so stressed out because the last darshan will be the next darshan, and then we have a bus to catch to back to Tirupati at 5:30. And then while coming from our rooms, I told my friends, okay, Swami came close to us and he talked to us. And that itself is a big blessing. So don't anticipate anything. I didn't want to disappoint them because they used to see that Swami had done so many things, miracles they heard about or what. And they thought maybe they can actually be witnesses to some of that. But I didn't want to disappoint, so I gave them a heads up. I said, this is our last darshan, so you can write letter. If he comes near us, at least we'll give the letters to him and we'll leave. And then Swami came to us and Swami asked me, Entamandi, how many of you? I said, six students have come, Swami. Then he said, only six? And then he went away. Walked around the corner in the darshan line all the way towards the end. And then he turned back and he pointed at me and said, get up and go. I mean, it was a clear sign to me. It's heart to heart, I would say. Because from that far, anybody, it could be anybody, but I felt it was me and I then could see, obviously, once we got up, Swami said, yeah, go fast. So we all got up and went in, sat in the interview. In that interview of about 45 minutes, Swami shared so many personal experiences with my friends who had never seen him or read about him or anything like that. The first encounter, one of them, Swami scolded him saying, you got a good rank and you got into the engineering college, but now you're not studying well. Your mother is so unhappy. You're disappointing her. His dad had passed away and his mother was earning and making him go through this education. And so Swami knew that, so he was able to personally connect with him in that level.
On all of them are meeting for the first time, and Swami is revealing about their personal
details of their life with them. Other friend, Swami pointed a finger at him and said, did you stop smoking?
Mm-hmm.
That was a shocker to all the so-called close friends of his also, all of us. Like, whoa, what is that? And then Swami gave interview to some other devotees also. So he took them inside the other personal interview room. And then we looked at this guy and said, hey, what is going on? Swami is saying this. Then he started crying. He was in tears. He said, actually, not even my parents know about it. One time, only once I tested what this smoking thing is about. When I went to my village and they offered me this tobacco or something. Only I knew and Swami knows. And that Swami pointed out. And then another friend of ours, when he was coming to darshan, I asked him, if you have any problems or any questions, you can write in the letter. And he said, I have this stomach pain and doctors have not been able to do anything. It comes now and then, but it's not that serious, but it does annoy me. But then I said, what did the doctors say? And they said it's an allergy. And I said, write, Swami. I mean, you can pray to Swami for anything. In the interview room, Swami asked him, only him, Swami asked, how is your health? And he said, Swami, stomach... And Swami said, I'll give you prasad. He created a Shivalingam and asked him to take the Teertham every day. And the meticulous thing is, Swami opened a small envelope and put the lingam in that, packed it nicely. I kind of learned packing techniques from Swami. Actually, it's kind of strange, but strange are his ways in his own ways.
Yeah, Swami wrote very meticulous.
Very meticulous. Yes. So he packed it so well and put it in his hand. So, like a mother, I'm giving it to you. He said these words. So, take the prasad every day and you'll be fine. And it's nothing, it's allergy, Swami said. Swami used the same word that he mentioned to me before darshan. Just to connect with each of them at the level where they were at. And my friend, he had created a chain bracelet for him, which in hindsight was a blessing because he got into an accident soon after. And in that accident, he could have got severely hurt, but he fell on his wrist, which had the bracelet that Swami had created, and Swami protected him.
Protecting armor.
Yes, that was something that made his faith stronger in Swami. Anyway, so that was an experience that...
kind of life-changing experience for each of them.
Each of them completely touched by his love and the connection he had with each of them.
Beautiful.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m. Sai Ram and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. The time right now in Prashanthi Nilayam, India is 10:54 a.m. And today is the 28th of March 2013 and my name is Karuna. We welcome your feedback to the bhajans that I played for you, and I still have one more to play at the end, and to the conversation with Mr. Madhav Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the one with filmmakers Jean Massey and Naresh Sharma. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Dear listeners, it is now time for me to wind up Morning Glory. I would like to take this moment and offer my hosting efforts at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Before my colleague Raghu logs on, please do enjoy yet another blissful bhajan in Sai Krishna's voice, again from our Nad Brahman series. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay inspired and positive. Sai Ram.
Rama Shri Rama Chandra Jaya Jaya Rama.
Rama Shri Rama Chandra Jaya Jaya Rama.
Rama Shri Rama Chandra Jaya Jaya Rama.
Shri Charana. Shri Ramachandra, Jaya Jaya Rama.